This call is being recorded.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucks podcast. I'm James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison, and you can find everything that we're doing over at thepeterplank.com, and make sure you're following along on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at thepeterplank, at @JYarko_Bucks, and at @DH82_Bucks. We have just completed day two of the NFL draft, and David, I think my brain is fried.
Mine's definitely feeling the fatigue.
Yeah, that was exhausting. Again, we had the dream laid out where the Bucks could have gotten Darius Geis and Dante Jackson, and you and I would have been doing cartwheels down the street, and both of the players were there and waiting for them, and the Bucks passed on both of them. However, they did come away in the second round with USC running back Ronald Jones II. Then they got North Carolina Tar Heel corner MJ Stewart and Auburn Tiger corner Carlton Davis. And in the acquisition of Davis, they traded back some, picked up a fourth round pick from the Patriots. Then they traded the fourth round pick that they got from the Giants when they swapped picks in the JPP deal, threw in one of their sixth rounders, moved back up into the end of the third round, and got offensive guard Alex Kappa. So there was that movie Magic Fairy Dust you were talking about on Friday's show, where they started with one first, one second, and one third, and they have turned those three picks into Vita Vea, Jason Pierre-Paul, Ronald Jones, MJ Stewart, Carlton Davis, and Alex Kappa. And they still have three more picks tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So kudos, Jason Light. And I still see people calling for Jason Light's head. And at this point, kind of like what you said yesterday, they're never going to be happy, ever. He could go out and he could get the NFC Pro Bowl team from last year and they would still complain.
Oh yeah. And what's funny though, I don't know. I've been around football long enough, you know, as a observer, a detailed observer. I've seen this kind of play out with some other fan bases from time to time. I have a few people who are Philly fans who actually kind of played out this year similarly, where like when Nick Foles was brought back, it was like the dumbest move ever. And then towards the end of the season, I started hearing things where it was like, oh man, the Eagles are really lucky that Nick Foles was able to pull that out, because like there's no way they knew that was going to happen. So you're right. There's no way the franchise who brought the backup quarterback to the team in the first place thought that if he had to play, he might be able to win. No way that was the case.
Yeah.
You know what Impossible. I mean? And so it's like, it's just, yeah, I mean, yeah, you're just not going to make some people happy, and that's just, it is what it is, which is why Jason Light, I mean, there's not a lot of GMs out there pandering to the fan bases anyway, but you have certain personalities in the National Football League, mostly owners, but some owners / GMs that are kind of pandering to their fan base and kind of really want to, you know, like they make the picks that to get the fans excited and stuff like that. And this is why I like Jason Light, you know what I mean? We were talking before we started recording, obviously not knowing all the stuff about Darius Geis that we found out as soon as he got picked by Benjamin Albright. At least he's the first person I saw tweet about it. He had the story and tweet it until after Geis is drafted, because he doesn't want to be the guy, you know what
right.
I mean, that basically causes this kid, you know, he already hurt himself, but let's not sensationalize it and make it worse than it has to be. So a lot of respect to him. But, you know, once I saw the story on Geis, I was like, oh, man, I'm really glad the Buccaneers stayed away from him. And don't get me wrong, like, hopefully he learns from this mistake and he learns from his lesson and he goes on to be a great pro. That's definitely a possibility. But at least right now, in what he showed teams during the draft process, like, no, there's no way. But – you know, I was with you. Like, I thought it was Darius Geis. You know what I mean? I thought that's who the pick was going to be at number 38. When they got to 53, you know, I was obviously Dante Jackson was there. That's my dude. But, you know, I kind of got to the point throughout the day, looking at some stuff where I would be happy with pretty much any combination of a guy that could play outside and a safe Jay Stewart. I haven't done a whole lot of homework on him. He wasn't one of the guys that we covered in our prospect series. And he wasn't really someone that popped up on a lot of radars. Like, I don't really remember seeing any Bucks outlet really talk about him.
Not at all.
But as soon as he was the pick, you know, just obviously what they said on NFL Network. And then I just, you know, looked up a few things real quick on my own just to verify or, you know, debunk whatever I was hearing and stuff like that. I mean, I like the way, you know, on the surface, obviously I haven't done any type of deep dive on him, but, you know, from what I see, I like what I see on the surface. He's definitely more of a guy who looks like he's going to play in sub packages, which is what Jason Light said, and that's fine. Because then they went and packed, they got Carlton Davis at presence. And I don't know, I put it in the group chat. I never went back to see if anybody responded, but have you seen the clip where Carlton Davis stuck?
No, no, I never did.
Yeah, it would hurt your feelings as a Sony Michel supporter.
well, you know, Sony Michel can, you know, stick it. He's a Patriot. I don't care about him anymore until I draft him on my fantasy team.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I tweeted this out to somebody who you know, so something that we had a lot of fun with during the offseason at one point was the GIF thread, right? And it was a lot of fun. So I did it again today. I did it when I thought the Bucks were done, but it turned out they weren't. I'm asking a lot of the followers for their GIF responses to the class so far. Only a couple of them are negative, but, you know, to one of them, you know, they're disappointed because we didn't take Justin Reed, and I wanted Justin Reed too. I put that in my day two preview, actually, that Justin Reed was the kind of guy I had my eye on, along with Ronnie Harrison, but more so Justin Reed. So, you know, I was disappointed too, guys. Like, you know, I wanted to see the team take Dante Jackson or Isaiah Oliver at 53. I wanted to see them take Justin Reed at 56. And then when they traded down to 63 and Reed was still on the board, I was like, oh man, like this has got to be Justin Reed. And they took Carlton Davis. But you can't, you know, once I got past my own personal preferences and looked at the players that they took and try to connect the dots, we complained all season. And I say we because we did the same thing all season last year. The defense was soft. Even TJ Ward, like TJ Ward is not known as a soft player. Like that dude looked soft as hell last year. The defenders that the Buccaneers have brought in are not soft defenders. You know, Vita Vea, like I have a feeling Vita Vea is going to get a little bit of criticism from Bucs fans the way Gerald McCoy does because he is kind of a nice person, it seems. He's the kind of guy who's going to knock a guard. No, I haven't actually. I saw his question and answers with the fans.
His press conference, like Vita Vea is just such a cool dude. Like you can't help but like him. He's just that personality. He's always smiling. And of course, you know, God forbid a defensive lineman from the Buccaneers smile once in a while. But yeah, I really like his personality a lot. But anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, but you only need these guys to be mean from whistle to whistle. Gerald McCoy is probably one of the most violent defenders that the Buccaneers have whistle to whistle. Like he's the fastest off the mouth, you know, he punches him quick and but then when the whistle stops, he's a normal person. He's like, okay, you know, football, these guys, there's a union, they're all kind of support each other's causes, you know, so on and so forth. Like it is what it is, you know. Or like I know there's a lot of war analogies used in football, but it's not an actual war. Like at the end of the day, you're not trying to actually kill each other. And Vita Vea is the same way.
Unless your name is Vontaze Burfict, and then you legitimately are trying to kill other human beings.
Yeah, but like the only people who want Vontaze Burfict in the NFL really are probably guys who also wanted the XFL to succeed. You know, like
I wanted the XFL to succeed
in the state that it rolled out in.
Why not? I am pumped for the new XFL though.
Yeah, the new XFL is not going to be anything near what the old XFL was.
It's just more football, man.
Yeah, no, I'm down for football. But the way the XFL was doing it, I was like, wow, this is cool. Like, I don't know, it's like leftover football they pulled out of the trash microwave and tried to tell you it was fresh. Like, it was dumb. Anyway, So yeah, I mean, literally none of the players, like Alex Kappa, like I heard a lot of people saying they want Alex Kappa, and I didn't disagree with them. I wasn't saying no to Alex Kappa, but he wasn't a guy I fell in love with. I saw some of his tape. I saw what he did at the combine. Like, yeah, he impressed. You know, don't get me wrong, he impressed, but he wasn't a guy that I would necessarily like put my initials on and, you know, stake my job to him if I was in the room or anything like that. But so I'm not unhappy they took him. I'm not unhappy they took Carlton Davis or MJ Stewart or Ronald Jones or Vita Vea. They just aren't the guys I would have taken, you know, but there's a reason Jason Light is doing what he's doing. There's a reason I'm doing what I'm doing. And Scott Reynolds even said during their live cast, what I've been saying, he hates that so often records get tied to general managers. And I've been screaming that from the rooftop for the last, you know, 2 years, even when they had their good season. Like, it really depends on the organizational structure. And I know I'm kind of getting off on a tangent, but I'm just going to say this real quick. The whole thing with Jason Light is it's all the organizational structure, right? Some general managers are literally the coach's boss. Like, if you are the head coach and I am the general manager, it is my job to make sure you're doing your job. And if you're not doing your job, it's my job to get you to do your job or, you know, take whatever actions I need to take within the contract of my position. So if that's the case with Jason Light and Dirk Koetter, then got it. Then yeah, Jason Light has some responsibility with the record because it's his job to hold the coaches accountable. But I don't get the feeling that that's how that works in One Buck. I don't get that feeling. I don't want to say they're peers, but I think their positions are much less connected in the pecking order supervisor type of situation than some people think it might be. So, again, like we said all last season, if you think the roster should have been a playoff team, then the roster is fine. It's the coaching. And we'll have that conversation as we get to the season, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's so it's like I had mentioned. Oh no, you're fine. It's like I'd mentioned on I think it was on our Jason Pierre-Paul episode that, you know, when my dad and I were talking and he had said, you know, they better freaking win. And I said, if the Bucks don't win this season, it's a coaching problem, not a talent problem. This roster is talented. And Jason Light has only continued to build on that talent. You know, I love what he's doing. I don't necessarily love the players that he's doing it with, but you know, you and I are not at One Buck Place. All these experts on Twitter, you know, talking about we should have taken this guy, we should have taken this guy, why'd they take this guy? They're not at One Buck Place. They're not in this room. They're not working there as their full-time job. You know, it's always easy to play couch GM and couch head coach when your livelihood is not on the line. Like, these guys aren't drafting people because they're scrolling through Twitter and they see that at such and such, you know, 746582 said we need to draft this guy, so let's draft this guy to make him happy. They're studying these players. They're studying these players with the view of what they want from their team in 2018, what the strengths of these players are. Do these strengths fit what we want to do? Like I heard Trevor on Friday morning on 620. He was in studio with T-Kras, and he was talking about how he liked Josh Jackson for the Bucks because he does what the Bucks do on defense. Guys like Dante Jackson and Isaiah Oliver and Denzel Ward, you know, they were more of the press man cover corners, and that's not really what the Buccaneers did. So, yeah, they're great corners, but they didn't really fit. So when Jason Light is making these picks and he's talking to Dirk Koetter and he's talking to Mike Smith and he's talking to Buckner and you know, the coaching staffs, like, these are the players that I like. You know, show me what players you like. What players do we all like that we feel are going to fit our needs for what we want to accomplish as a team in the way that we do things? Now, it's a completely different conversation if you don't agree with the way that they do things offensively and defensively. But Jason Light has built a roster full of talent, and it boggles my mind. And I'm kind of going back to round one here, as you know, I see we're starting to close in on time. I know you're going to yell at me.
No, I'm not.
All these people, all these Buccaneers fans over the past 10, 11, 12, 13 years have done nothing but whine and cry and complain about there not being any talent on the defensive line. Why can't we get Gerald McCoy any help? Michael Johnson was a bust. Will Golston can't get to the quarterback. You know, Chris Baker sucked. You know, why can't we get him any help? Why can't we get him any help? We haven't had a double-digit sack guy since Simeon Rice. We need to take it back to the Warren Sapp and Simeon days and, you know, every narrative that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So what does Jason Light do? He has built an entirely new defensive line. There is nothing about this defensive line that is reminiscent of anything that we've seen over the past decade plus. And that's a good thing, but it's not good enough because now, well, we didn't get Derwin James, or why didn't we get this corner? And why did we waste a pick on a defensive lineman? That was a luxury. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a luxury. If you want, if you want a solid defensive line, you also have to have solid depth, because I can guarantee you, if the starting four for the Buccaneers are Jason Pierre-Paul, Vinny Curry, Bo Allen, and Gerald McCoy, those are not the same four that are going to start every single game, because somebody's getting hurt at some point. You can go ahead with whatever you were about to say. I was just going to throw that last little piece out.
No, I mean, you're 100% correct, and that's where, you know, everybody has to keep a level head, right, and understand that there's a difference between loving a player and how that player fits with what you're doing. And that's kind of what I've been saying with Minkah Fitzpatrick this whole time. Is I don't have anything against Minkah Fitzpatrick. I think he's a very talented young player, and I think he's probably going to have a very good career if he can survive being in Miami. But he didn't fit what the Buccaneers needed. And the way that Jason Light has been drafting shows you that Minkah Fitzpatrick didn't fit what the Buccaneers needed, because the guys they've drafted are polar opposites. Like, Minkah Fitzpatrick is not going to stick so the clip I was talking about, right? Carlton Davis literally, so he's playing the left corner slot, right, or position, right? His receiver goes in motion, so he bails. He bails basically into kind of a wide linebacker, maybe even a left side strong safety position. When the ball is snapped, like, I don't know if I don't say ever, because there's a whole lot of guys I watch, but you're not going to see many who react as fast as Carlton Davis reacted to that play. And as soon as he saw that lane opening up where Sony Michel was going to run through, he started probably good 5-6 yards off the line of scrimmage to the left, outside the right tackle, right? And he met Sony Michel at the line of scrimmage in the gap. And he hit Sony Michel so hard that Michel literally went backwards. And this is a cornerback. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't Luke Kuechly or Deion Jones or Quan Alexander. This is a cornerback. And this dude, and I know Sony Michel's not Leonard Fournette either, but he's still a running back coming through the gap at full speed. You know what I mean? And he literally stopped that dude in his tracks. And as soon as I saw that clip, I was like, whoa, this is the dude the Buccaneers needed. Because what did we all complain about last season? Aggressiveness, physical play. They weren't physical enough. They didn't attack enough. The only one who really got a pass was Brent Grimes, because in coverage, he's so physical that nobody really noticed it. But in run support, he wasn't as physical as some corners are. And I don't blame him at his stage in his career. Like, it's not worth it at this point. You know what I mean? His nose in there. And then when Mark Cook came back from the conference call that they had with him, he just emphasized that point even more. Like, this dude just got drafted. He's not even in Dallas. Like, he's at home, I'm assuming, you know, sitting on the couch with his family and his loved ones. And he's like yelling into the phone, apparently, talking about how, you know, like, the greatest pick they ever made. He will be on the field week one. Like, he will come in and start, like, da da, like, just fired up one. Like, if they offered to overnight him to Tampa, put the pads on and play against Atlanta tomorrow morning, he'd be all about it. You know what I mean? That's the kind of guy you want. And so that's one complaint, right? What was another complaint? Defensive line. There was nothing coming from the defensive line. The defensive line was stagnant. They try to get cute with all these things. We just need to go, you know, face to face, man to man, push you out of the way and get to your quarterback. Well, what do you think Vita Vea is going to do? That's what Vita Vea is there for. He is there to do what Chris Baker was supposed to do. Be part of that anyway. He's not going to be, like you said, the doing the entire time, but he's there to help with that. So is Mitch Unruh. So is Bo Allen. That's what those guys are all there for. And it's what we all called for. You know what we were all saying at the end of the season? That for once, the safeties really weren't the problem. Well, okay, so if at the end, if in January, we were all walking away from the scene and saying, man, the safeties actually didn't do too bad. The safeties weren't a problem. Justin Evans did a lot better than we thought. We're all kind of confused about Keith Tandy, but it is what it is. But we're all walking away from the season saying that the safeties really weren't the issue. It was more on the corners. It was more on the underneath coverage. It was more on the defensive line. Then why are we all freaking out the team hasn't drafted a safety yet?
Because
they've addressed all the other areas.
Because Chris Conte's on the roster. Because Derwin James
went to Florida State.
That too. Oh, that's such a huge
Chris Conte did fine.
I know he did, but you can't tell that. You can't tell that to people. You could break it down on film. You can circle and point out everything that you want, but people don't care because it's Chris Conte, and they want him gone. Yeah. Like, I just saw somebody
tweet. Chris Conte wasn't even the worst safety in the NFC South.
No. But I just saw somebody tweet at Allman. And, of course, now I can't find it because my Twitter feed is all screwed up from hitting the back button. But somebody had pointed out something to the effect of, you know, we have Grimes on the outside. We have, you know,